largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Dexter. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Dexter news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Dexter.
Hello, Dexter fans.
Whoop, whoop.
Finally, we are here. Season 6, Episode 1, Those Kinds of Things. I am your host, Kevin Undergaro, along with
Heather Basra.
And we are so excited to be here. We had a lot of anticipation leading up to this. You know, my personal opinion was the strongest season I've seen thus far was the season 4 with Lithgow, and I think a lot of the Dexterites agree.
Yes.
I thought last year was, you know, great, but a little softer.
Yes, most certainly softer.
And the inside word that I was getting, in fact, when we were at the MTV Movie Award gift suites, Jess, who was the cast member from Dexter that we saw at the when we broadcast, we did After Buzz from the MTV gift suites?
I will get right back to you.
Okay. I forget. I'm sorry. I forget who it was. But the word was from them, like, no. Stay tuned.
Okay.
6 is going to get us back on track. So anyway, lots to talk about. And man, they got a lot in this episode.
They sure did.
That we got to see. And, you know, before we get into the recap, Heather, as you know, with AfterBuzz, we watch these shows and we try to go up within 5 to 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. We try to go up as quick as we can. And unfortunately, we don't get to do the research and all the other things that I'd love to be able to do and to get more feedback and break certain things down.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things you mentioned as we were hustling around in the studio is that now that the actor who plays Dexter and the actress who plays Deb, who were married, are now divorced, you actually noticed a difference in their performances. Can you speak to that?
Okay, so the first part I noticed was when they were accepting the award, when Lieutenant
Luwakta
was accepting the award, they were sitting a little further apart than usual. Normally, they look like brother and sister. They act like brother and sister. They're really chummy and goofy, and they get along. But in this episode, you see them, or I mean, in the scene, you see she's sitting a lot closer to Quinn and a little bit further away from him. There's a significant
Do you think, and you know, again, it's opinion, but I think it could be valid. Do you think that this was the writer and director trying to make her closer with Quinn in the story, or do you think just in real life there's tension and they're keeping them apart?
Maybe they can be adults about it, but
it's hard.
It's tough seeing an ex and having to deal with that, you know.
It's just like seeing an ex in the workplace. There's no way. It can't be easy. I don't care. Mm-hmm. And actors, at the end of the day, their job is to act.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to put on a role and turn it on and off, but they're human.
Yeah.
It's
kind of hard to turn the feelings off or the tension or the argument or whatever it is and focus and be in character. But maybe the directors and the writers probably thought of this.
Keep them in their neutral corners?
Yeah, maybe they thought of this ahead of time. You know, they're like,
okay. And so they're finding ways to kind of just keep a little space. Well, I know that just going back in time with movies and you know, being such a big fan of old films and doing research on them, I know that a lot of real-life tension that exists between actors can end up working very effectively.
Oh yeah,
I remember there's just a movie called The Heiress, great film Olivia de Havilland starred in with. Oh my goodness, I always when I think of him as the predecessor to Tom Cruise, he was Montgomery Clift, very handsome young actor. And Olivia felt he was very vain and very self-absorbed and not very generous as an actor. He would kind of hog the scene. But she felt that's what made it work.
Yeah.
She was an heiress who was coming into a lot of money. He was a gold digger who was using her for her money. And that's just one of many, many examples of how great it can work for you. Now, films that haven't succeeded because of that also, I'm sure, exist.
Of course.
The two actors just can't get on the same page, and it just makes a mess of what's going on. I tend to think the best chemistry that you see
is
something real.
Yeah.
Yes. Whether it's if that's what's going to be useful is a sexual tension or an angry tension, I feel like that makes for the
it brings
best
out
work.
The adrenaline. You know, when you're in the moment, you're angry and you feel it. You know, your blood starts pumping. I think maybe that helps too.
It comes out. Well, yeah. It'll be interesting. I did not see that, but then I wasn't looking for that. So I'm really glad you picked that up. So as we watch, it'll be interesting on the side just to watch to see, you know, kind of...
the little tidbits.
What's going on. Well, let's talk about... We open up with this and we kind of... It seems like it's a couple of years have passed.
Yeah,
the baby's in that. The baby's in preschool, and we'll talk about that later as we really focus on Dexter. But... we see that Angel and Luarte are no longer together.
No.
And Luarte is chummy up on stage getting this promotion from the deputy chief, only to find out, of course, it was a little blackmail going on. And what they'll be setting up for us is the fact that, you know, when the deputy chief says to her, "You better watch your ass."
Yeah.
Now you're playing with the big boys. So we know.
Something's going to happen.
Something's going to happen between
something's
them.
Gonna you go know, down.
They're going to develop that. Did you, and then, well, you know, I'm going to just sum up some of the other things. And we see Angel's, we meet his younger sister who has taken the apartment next to Dexter so she can be a nanny.
Like a permanent.
And, you know, we see she's dressing sexy and that kind of bothers Angel. And, you know, we learn a little bit more about Angel. And I know now we're going to have someone else watching Dexter, as we know at that dinner. We say, "Oh, Dexter's out at night a lot." "Really?" he says.
Whoa.
So we know they're laying down the groundwork. That, again,
that
is going to be...
more people are keeping an eye out now.
Someone else is watching him. And, of course, we have Quinn and Deb, who are advanced in their relationship, we see. And
I believe they moved in together.
They moved in together. And, you know, they got that out with by her saying, "Oh, what do you want to buy, another flat panel?" He's like, "No, I just need dinner." And, and dinner, of course, was going to be him proposing to her. And only for this, like... crazy shootout to happen, and she shows that she's super cop, and people are filming it or taping it on their phones.
Yeah, on their cell phones.
And
it's going to create for some tension.
I believe it's going to create tension because it's going to emasculate him, and that may cause problems with their relationship.
Yep.
My question to you, with all of this, and particularly when Dexter killed the two paramedics.
Oh, yeah, at the beginning.
It, to me, that scene, along with the way they laid out all the B characters and their stories, seemed like a lot of exposition in a really fast way that wasn't really organic. You know, one of the things they always talk teacher in writing is show, don't tell. Show, don't tell. And the beginning of this episode for me, and I don't want to be too critical because I love this show and I love all the actors and I love the writers, but what bothered me a little bit is that there was a lot of telling and not a lot of showing. So as Dexter's killing these paramedics, he's completely explaining, "Oh, and I know you were the ones who were harvesting body parts, and but the person you were working with was busted and stopped, but you have kept going and you were just doing it for money," and
like, just get to it already. We already know.
But it was so much explaining and telling and telling. And the same thing with Luarte and the deputy chief and Quinn and Deb and Angel. It was just they wanted to kind of get all these facts out as fast as they could. And it didn't feel to me organic, but that might be maybe one of those things that I'm always looking for. Did any of that bother you at all, Heather?
It kind of felt a little rushed.
Okay.
It, like, for the first half of the the episode, it seemed a little rushed. Like, here's a character, this is what's going on, here's this, here's that. So
and it was just let's get all this information out and then okay now exhale okay, we
now
can start
let's get into the
season
episode.
Six.
Yeah.
So that was that I did find just a little bit annoying.
And it doesn't seem like the usual Dexter,
right?
You know, the usual Dexter episodes where it's kind of like him thinking and him slowly moving into that. You know, usually that first scene would probably take a whole episode.
Right. Exactly. It wouldn't be a whole episode.
In 5 minutes.
And it was just, you know, really, you know, and the whole thing with him being pretending to be stabbed and calling somebody and it
was a little confusing.
It irked me, and I was not like I'm such a some smarty pants. It didn't really confuse me, but I did feel as though it was rushed. And anyway, I'm okay. I'm okay because once we settled down, we were fine. So Dexter's got this new life. We've got the son in preschool. We've got Angel's sister being the nanny. We have the second apartment he rents. So we know that the baby and her are in that apartment. Mm-hmm. So he's free to do his business.
Yes. He's pretty much got the whole apartment to himself.
He's back in business. He puts the slides in the AC unit, which every time he does that, I cringe because I'm like, ugh, that's the evidence that's going to sink you at the end of the series. No, yeah. Why? Why do we... every criminal has to do that.
Every time somebody walks by, they're like, oh, dude, you're like, your AC's busted or something.
Everyone has something to say.
Everyone's always like looking in like, what is, something's in there.
Right.
And he's like, oh, no, nothing. Come over here.
Yeah. So it's always like every time, like, you know, they're setting it up.
Yeah. That's
for a long time. But we go to the reunion, which.
Kind of came out of nowhere.
It came out of nowhere. But it ended up, for me, being a lot of fun.
It was.
I think the funniest thing I've seen with this series, and just one of the funniest things I've seen in general, was him dancing to MC Hammer. It was a low-angle shot, a lot of bad white guy dancing.
Yes.
Effing hysterical.
Yes, definitely crazy. And you could totally see how awkward he is.
Yes.
Completely how awkward he is and how he doesn't know how to fit in. And he thinks he knows how to fit in. But then we see this and we're like, oh, yeah.
No idea. No. And, you know, in directing, what the director did, which I thought was cool, was that if you notice, it was all single shots of Dexter when he would talk to somebody and then singles of the other people.
Yeah.
And so there was such a disconnect between him and everyone else. And then when, you know, the dad says, you know what, go out, have fun, be popular. Well, anyway, we find out he is popular now. Which he wasn't in high school because he's got the cool job.
Yep.
And he's a good looking guy. And how many times do we see this, right, in high schools where the popular guy just kind of turns into a has-been. And, you know, the other guy, the nerd, is now the doctor or whatever. And the dad says, enjoy it. So we get to see him enjoy it, which is interesting. But that dance just killed me. I thought that
it was definitely funny.
I thought it was hysterical. I thought it was
I bet, like, while he was doing it, he was probably laughing.
Yeah, he had fun.
Like, oh, you could tell. Like, he had a smile on his face for a quick moment.
He was having a ball doing it. Yeah, yeah. And anyway, so it was nice to see him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a decent setting for them. And of course, we move on from there. Jeez, I don't want to jump around a lot, but he ends up even picking up a girl, and he gets
he didn't even know what was going on at the beginning, and.
All I was saying to Heather was, I just wish it was this easy. Like, getting a girl who just pulls you aside and
says, hey, let's go in this room.
Gives you oral sex and then says, thanks.
That's it. Thanks. Bye.
Like, wow. I love it. Of course, he uses it as a way to get to, we find out he's going to the reunion just because somebody liked in high school ends up, he surmised, was killed by the abusive boyfriend she had back then.
And they got married, I think it's hilarious because I think a lot of people who are not happy with their marriages kind of probably think this way. So maybe they stay together or they wish they could kill their spouse. He said, Dexter said, give me a reason why you had to kill her. Do you know how expensive divorce is?
Yes. Yeah. But by the way, I hate to say it, like that is how a lot of those rich asshole guys think.
It's yeah.
Like, you know.
They don't want to lose half their money.
I don't want to give away the money. he has, and this will tie into some other things. Interesting, he's got the Jesus tattoo on his chest. And
yes,
we clearly see from beginning with the preschool that his son is being dropped off at a predominantly Catholic school. Lots of the images of the crucifixion and
lots of them
and different mosaics. And when we see this Jesus tattoo on his chest, it feels like this episode and this season.
Yeah, I was gonna say this season
is gonna be about religion.
I think
it's gonna be about his relationship with God, which we haven't touched on.
No, not at all.
And by the way, once again, such a funny show. How funny was his talking to Angel about religion?
That was hilarious.
He's like, Angel, explain religion to me so I can explain it to somebody else. and Angel's explanation was so lame and blind and bland. But don't you think it was the writers really kind of poking fun at all of us for how
true.
We just like kind of blindly follow it, and then when we're pushed, it's like, well, it's within you, faith.
Yeah.
And geez, and I wrote down, I don't know, did you the actual quote was hysterical.
No, I didn't.
Is, you know, he's like, he said something about faith, whatever, and Dexter tells him that makes no sense. You know, like his voiceover tells him like. But it was...
Yeah, the voice in his head says, like, what?
And he's like, it makes perfect sense. But then, of course, the voice in his head makes
no sense whatsoever.
And I have to... I hate to be cynical.
Mm-hmm.
But it really felt like... I felt like Dexter at that moment.
I did too. Like, but if you talk to people who really are religious, that's how they don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, you can't.
I really feel like I've been through... My mom was really cool growing up. She was like, I want you to learn everything. So I learned a little, you know, I've been to every kind of church, temple.
Oh, my goodness,
mosque.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I've been to Jewish church.
Yeah, favorites?
I do like Islam, but it's, I don't want people to judge me based on that. So I kind of just pick and choose a little bit of each.
That's, you know what? That's interesting that you like Islam when you've seen all the other religions.
Well, when you read the Quran... For yourself, and I think that's where he's coming from. You know, it's in yourself. He said, it's faith.
That's what Angel says in his explanation.
Yes, he said it's faith. It's hard to explain, and I can see where he's coming from, or when people are put on the spot and they're like, well, why are you Catholic? Why do you believe that?
Right.
You know, I don't know, and it really is. It's faith. It's how you interpret your holy book. And when I was learning about Islam, I did read the Quran. That's what the imam told me. He gave me the book and said, read it for yourself. Don't listen to anybody else, but read it for yourself.
Okay.
And it's true. It's true.
Well,
you have to.
Well, it'll be interesting to see
how they tie everything
all,
in.
How this all unfolds. And if he develops any faith as this goes on.
As he picks one.
You know, when he was about to kill the guy, he sat back. And it seems like he's interested in getting some kind of answer. He's not, he's saying it sounds stupid, but I think he's curious about it.
Oh, very curious.
He wants to know more. He wants to learn a little bit. He questions Angel, of course, doesn't hear much. And then right before he kills the guy, normally he would have killed the guy at that moment.
Oh, yeah.
He actually sat back to listen to him.
Yes. Well, and the guy had asked him, why do you want to hear me? Oh, you know, I'm interested. Tell me. I want to know.
Right.
You know, why? Let's do it.
And of course, Hammer Time. It's a great, great callback comedically.
That was hilarious.
To the Hammer Time dance, which I thought very clever writing. And again, this is how I got sucked just totally back into the episode. After the first, say, third, I thought, or maybe you said it was the first half, maybe it was. But once we got into it, I thought it was great. And the usual funny stuff, we don't want to leave out our dear friend Matsuka. He's hilarious, right?
He's so funny. He totally makes me laugh. There's always that one guy in every group or that one guy at every job who has to be that, like, not dirty-minded, but always brings it to that level. Everyone's thinking of it. Nobody says it. He's the one who says it out loud.
Out loud. He's just a geek. He's inappropriate. He's awkward, and he's hilarious.
Yes.
And it's so funny. I think that even the class he's teaching is an internet class.
It's, yeah, it's an online internet philanthropy, like criminal something.
Yeah, no, it was like there was many, many disclaimers with the title. It wasn't, you know, and I'm picking an intern.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. He
was
actually
a surprise.
He picked the nerd guy, like trying to go the other way. But
in the end, he's like, all right, hot chick wins.
Because the kid passed out. Yeah. It's so funny. The kid's like, "Yeah, I think he's dead." Like, right? That was his conclusion. Anyway, he's great. We'll be seeing more of him.
Oh, definitely.
And let's talk about, because this will lead us into our new supervillains.
Ooh, yeah.
It seems like every season we have one great
something
villain,
yeah.
And the greatest everyone seems to say is Lithgow.
Yes.
These new two guys. Played by Colin Hanks and Edward James Olmos. Very interesting. We just tell people listening at home, as we do our shows, we rerun the show in the studio. So we see it up on the screen here.
Mm-hmm.
And as it was playing, I noticed that Colin Hanks got billing over Edward James Olmos. So I don't know.
Mm.
That's just, you know, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe I just because I know Edward James Olmos is a legend.
Yeah,
but Colin Hanks is a comer. He is a fantastic actor.
He picks the good parts.
He does.
He picks really good.
But he
roles.
Can handle those roles
exactly.
And I'll tell you, it's funny. I'm a filmmaker, and the new project I'm working on, which obviously Serial Buddies, my old project, just has to get out there and kind of do the festivals and the promotion and all that crap. But in the meantime, I'm starting to work on something new and. There's something that I have for Colin. I really want to work with him. I think he's a great actor. And I think that between him and Edward James Olmos, I feel like we're going to have, I mean, Lithgow is Lithgow. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
But now I think we're going to have two credible people that will do something really interesting as our season of supervillain role.
Yes.
But we see these two, again, the religious thing.
They're doing all this crazy stuff.
We see them pick up a pregnant snake in the water.
Freshwater snake, I believe. Yeah. Very interesting.
Crazy, you know, and when they're pregnant, they're slow, so you can catch them.
Yes.
Which, who knows if that's not a callback to the fact that now that Dexter has a child, that he's not slower and easy to catch or, you know, more vulnerable. But I told Jesse... You know, when they take this, they catch this snake, then they kill the fruit stand guy. We find the intestines. We don't think anything of it. But when his body washes up, we see it sewn shut with an alpha and omega symbol. And when they open it up, all the baby snakes come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, geez, that's got to be biblical.
And
Jess, I had you look up in the... And again, this is why I wish if we had more time in between the show ending and us coming up in the studio. But Jess, I asked you to look it up. What did you find when you looked up snakes in the stomach?
It represents, overall, it represents betrayal and things that you fear. Now, I also was looking up, I'm correct. It's a Buddha. I don't know if he's a god, but an elephant in the shape of an elephant, Ganu.
Ganoush.
Ganoush.
Yeah.
He has a snake wrapped around his belly, and that's a popular one that pops up, and it symbolizes, the snake symbolizes the energy for all things eternal. Now, I just looked up, I didn't realize that you said it was a pregnant snake.
Mm.
So I looked up what does, you know, what does a pregnant snake symbolize? And by neglecting a responsibility, things can infest. And so with that, it gets scarier, which brings in the fear that the snake represents. But the snake being pregnant and means that from that fear, you know, by not doing something correctly, it will... create and manifest into something bigger. More negative.
Ooh.
Interesting, which is going to be this whole season.
Yeah.
You know, and so no sooner do I say that, Edward James almost says some quote, the serpent from the sea with seven heads blah, 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 something about blasphemy. And again, I apologize that we can't DVR back fast enough and get the quote, but it's something biblical. We know the snake from the Garden of Eden, you know, and represents the devil. It generally doesn't represent anything good.
Yeah, no, definitely not. It's all, you see a snake, it's bad news.
And great, which we both laughed. We loved how Dexter was excited over
it. Oh, God, did you see the look in his eyes? He's like, snakes? Oh, gosh, who did this?
And we're going to see in the, you know, when we go later in the episode with previews, he's so
mesmerized by all of these things that are happening around him because he's so curious about this biblical stuff now.
Finally, there's a new guy to be excited about. Yeah.
Exactly. And he's curious because he wanted to learn about the biblical stuff.
Right.
And now it's kind of all coming to him in the killer sense.
Which is his, it's totally his niche. His niche and his arena. And he even mentions what a great imagination. This killer has. So he's excited.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We see he's back. But I think that I feel as though we're going to have a great season. And I love the idea. I love Colin Hanks as an actor. I love Edward James Olmos as an actor. And I think that they're going to do something pretty cool. I have to say with this show, and I hope I don't offend any other fans, I've never been the biggest fan of this show, of the smaller characters in subplots.
Mm.
How do you feel about that?
I can see that. I mean, I love the show just because of Dexter. And
agreed. That's me. I agree.
I mean, I have my degree in biology. I wanted to be a doctor for blood cardiology. So this totally, when he sees blood and he gets excited, I'm excited.
I know. I see your eyes. Like, my God, if you're on audio, you got to go check out our YouTube feeds. You can see this gorgeous girl with these beautiful blue eyes. But to see her get excited about blood, it's hilarious.
Like, when he gets excited, I'm excited. Like, when he hit that guy with the hammer and he's like, hammer time, I was like, oh, my God, yeah, that was way cool. Like,
and hilarious, you know, and again, as we're watching the rerun in the studio, how great that the one girl he did date turned lesbian.
Yeah, right?
I mean, there's so many, like, subtleties of just, of humor.
Yeah, you were the last guy I dated.
Yeah, so obviously he drove her to lesbianism.
Oh, right.
Hilarious. But for me, I have to say, I love the actors, the supporting actors. I think they're all fantastic. What I don't like is, I didn't really like Luarte and Angel and they're romancing each other.
A little side story.
I don't like that. I only like it in so much as it supports the main, it supports Dexter's story.
Yes.
And his arc. Other than that, I don't care for it. And I think what happens, I know from my experience writing for TV, is you become friends with these actors, and as a writer, you want to give them
something.
And then you have also pressures from agents and managers and things like that, who they want more time, tough, more stories. And ends up feeling forced. And I hope I'm not offending any of my fellow Dexter fans. It's just that I'm like, God, no, I want to see Dexter. And I love Deb with Dexter, and Angel with Dexter, and Luarte with Dexter.
Yeah.
I like, and if their stories really support his, I like it. But I know, like, just watching Luarte and Angel romance each other and stuff, it was boring.
It was a little awkward.
Yeah.
It's a little, eh.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan. Anyway, so hopefully we won't have to see much of that. Hopefully they'll just stick to Dexter. Yeah,
I think they might.
I hope so.
It seems so far. I mean, we're getting little tidbits, but it seems like it's all going to come together somehow.
Like, for me, the way they handled Matsuka in this episode, perfect.
Yes.
Just
a totally compliment.
He's hilarious and he's funny, and
That's a good role for him.
Yeah, it's a great role for him, but it's great window dressing for the show. It's perfect. Didn't take me out, made me laugh during it, and we're still moving along.
And we're still back on to Dexter.
We're still moving along.
Mm-hmm.
I just hate when we, and I like Deb's old boyfriend, you know, the last lover, like in the apartment. I don't care. I don't care.
Get back to Dexter and killing people.
Get back to Dexter, right. If the boyfriend's trying to find out who Dexter is.
Or
the boyfriend is, you know, killing people and putting them under his house and dating them. Fine.
Yeah.
On that, I don't care. Let's just stick to it. All right, Jess, how about take us to commercial and then we'll talk about that very, very long preview for season 6.
Yeah. Exciting stuff.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
The wig will come out.
When the TV show is over, get your After Buzz on.
Season.
No, it's okay. You can talk.
I thought last season was going to be the last season. But then they came out with this season, so I don't know how many more seasons they're going to actually have.
Well, that's why we have predictions. Jess, can you look up what the... And I really apologize for not having this info on hand. I was called into duty here. I didn't expect... I'm a fan of the show, but I was not thinking I was going to host the after show.
Mm-hmm.
So I apologize. I would have been more prepared. But
we forgive you.
Thank you. Thank you. Heather, so... We saw a very long preview.
Yes.
Kind of touching on this whole season.
Yes.
It's interesting. I thought it was great, too, that the intro of this show was not just a recap of last season, but it was a recap of the series.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was great, very clever. Oh, my God. Look at
this. Oh, yeah.
We're at the white show. Oh, my God. Dexter's dance.
He's dancing like a 2-year-old.
On the Hammer Time. Look at this. The all awful white people dances. This must have been so much fun to shoot.
Oh my God. He actually smiles. You can tell he's having fun.
Oh, and they're doing the Thriller dance. I mean, I can't even believe how bad.
There he goes. He's getting way too excited.
Yeah, he just did a spin and now a robot. Yeah. And they're all like just having way too much fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So we know religion, it seems like, is in faith.
Mm.
And faith in God is going to encapsulate this episode, this season.
This season. Mm-hmm.
What were some of the things in there you were talking about? The Day of the Dead? What was that?
Dia de Muerte. They have their faces painted super white with, it looks like skeletons on their face.
Right.
And I saw a couple of those
shots. Is that what is that?
In the Spanish culture, I believe, around Halloween, I believe it's in November. I'm not really sure. I think it's November.
Now, do you mean Spanish or Latino? Like Spanish is in Spain? Or?
Spanish is in, like, I think, like South America, all of the Latino.
Okay, Latino, right, okay.
Yeah, communities.
Mexican holiday, November 1st and 2nd.
Okay, so it is Mexican.
And what are they celebrating? It's interesting, it's right after Halloween.
It's called the Day of the Dead.
It says it focuses on the gatherings of family and friends to pray for and remember friends and family members who have died.
Okay.
That's why they wear the faces. Okay.
So we see a lot of this.
See a lot of that.
That's going to be in this season, some of the episodes, or one of them.
We also saw the crucifix. A couple of people were standing like that, crosses behind them. Look like Mary, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Mother Mary, I guess. I don't know what she's technically called.
The Blessed Mother.
Oh, okay.
And then we see... a lot of body parts chopped up, almost like the guy did in season one. Do you remember the way the guy would slice up the body parts?
Yes.
Even though the bodies were whiter, they were sliced up in the same way. And I don't know if that's going to be a callback to what we saw earlier, but I thought that was interesting.
Well, wasn't it his brother?
Yes.
So maybe somehow it could be Dexter.
Who knows?
Blending in.
Who knows? It's very interesting. Yeah, I think... It's. I think we're in for something pretty cool.
Oh,
very,
yes.
Very rich.
His curiosity is going to get the best of him, maybe.
And lead him into some bad things. And the son speaks.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, because again, we were rushing around the studio. I didn't expect it to go this long. You know, normally you get 30 seconds. And a lot of these shows, like a Breaking Bad or say Boardwalk, or the shows I do, they tease these scenes, but you can't really tell where it's going. You're left to really guess. So I was just loosely watching and I wasn't paying attention. And then, oh my goodness, all these like images came forward, and it went for such a long time. And I apologize. I should have looked at it more.
Dead body after dead body after dead body after crime scene after some biblical something, and then followed up by again. And
he says, you know, there's a great quote, too. I will be, Quinn will be the uncle to my son over my dead body. Like, and he was.
Yeah, him and Quinn do not.
Even though we didn't see much of it now.
Not now, because Deb and Quinn are now together. So it's
they haven't done anything touchy. Really with their their animosity toward one another. But we're going to be seeing more of that.
Yes.
We see Deb's want to marry Deb, but Deb's not really into it.
I don't think so. No. She doesn't seem really into it.
No, I think at this point, it just seems like she said no luck in love, that she's just going to dedicate herself to being a cop.
And now she's got that maybe a little help from the cameras, hero aspect. Maybe she's going to bump up. And Angel's moving up, hopefully, too.
He'll move up.
So that may allow her to move up.
I mean, she definitely deserves it because she's
very hardworking.
She's hardworking. She's passionate. She's hung in for so long. And it's funny. I find people like this in business are the ones who are the most successful.
Oh, yeah.
Who there's the most obstacles in front of them.
And they still the most keep disrespect. Pushing through.
They keep coming and they stay humble and they earn it, you know? And so again, it's great writing the way they've been patient all these seasons to progress her. And Jess, do we have any word on this, if we think this is the last season or if they were renewed?
I don't see anything online.
It doesn't say anything.
But this could be, because you were saying how the pre-cap to this episode was all the seasons. Did they do that before? I can't remember.
Here's why I don't think it'd be the last one, because I think Showtime would make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
Final season of Dexter. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm just wondering how many. I feel like we'll have another one after this, but I always like to know.
Yeah, just a little.
Just so I can breathe easy when I love my shows and they have to go away on me.
Right.
But I feel like this is going to be a very intense season.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be
very intense.
High powered, packed full of energy.
Heather, can I count on you where I'm busy with 50 jobs that you'll get in touch with the PR people at Showtime to get some of some of our cast?
Sure. I can totally try.
Yeah, all right.
I'll just work my magic.
Oh, yeah. All I have to do is smile at them. My God. It's so beautiful. All right.
Thank you.
Well, all right. Season 6, episode 1 is done.
Yes.
All right.
Woo!
Heather, you did good.
Thank you.
She's like, we go to host the show, Jesse, and what was her first line? I just want to tell you one thing. I'm like, what? I don't like to talk. I'm like, you've been hosting how many shows for AfterBuzz? What is this girl talking about? Is that because I was here, Jesse?
No, it's the humbleness.
Just humble, right? All right, I love you, babe.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jess.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.